Blog Talk Radio.
Find out life's a game of inches. So is football. Because in either game, life or football, the margin for error is so small. I mean, one half a step too late or too early, and you don't quite make it. One half second too slow, too fast, you don't quite catch it. The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game. Every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch.
Good evening, all. Well, none of the sound effects are working this evening. Well, that's what at least I'm finding at this point. Good evening, all. Welcome in to another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz program. Oh, man. Absolutely nothing working on the soundboard correctly this evening. We'll find out. Maybe it's just a temporary glitch, but no problem. We'll get through that one. That's just a little thing, so I'm not worried about that one. Well, welcome in. I mean, look, just like that, so we're suddenly at the end of the NFL season. And, there, you know, I'm going to be honest with you. There's a couple of things. A couple of things I'm really, really happy about that ended up this season. Obviously, one of the things I'm not happy about is the fact that the season has concluded, because consider for a moment that while I know that you'll be hearing from my Tuesday night sidekick here in a moment, he loves this time of year, but consider for a moment that over the next five...
Brandon, you're such a Pats homer.
Exactly. that sound effect worked. While we have 5 weeks of playoffs, really only 4 weeks of playoffs, because I'm not counting that stupid-ass game in between the conference championships and the Super Bowl, I'm not counting that stupid game that they throw in there in any of this mix. Consider for a moment there are only 11 games. That's it. That's 11 games, folks, that we're going to be captivated by and glued to over the course of the next really 4 weeks. That's it. That's all that's left in the NFL season. Now, a couple of things that I am happy about, I will say this. When you take a look over the 12 teams that are remaining, those 12 teams that represent our playoff teams, well, I'm going to tell you something. They're spot on. They're dead right. Every one of those teams that's there absolutely should be there. They are appropriately representing the NFL exactly as they are. And the second thing, or third thing, I guess, that I'm really, really happy about is the fact that of those 12 teams that are in there, none of them have a 500 or less record. Because, as I just pointed out, my Tuesday night sidekick, Brandon, who's joining me right now, knows no better how much I despise the concept of a 500 team or less getting into the playoffs, whether they're a division winner or not. It absolutely burns me up. And as it turned out, both the Houston Texans and the Washington Redskins at least did end up with a 9-7 record. So I'm very, very happy about that. Joining me as always, Brandon, how are we doing tonight? I know you love this time of year.
Yeah, there may only be 11 games left, but these are some of the best 11 games you're going to see. This is the best time of year for football. The games are ultra competitive. The teams, you know, they know it's a, you know, win or you go home kind of scenario. You know, I think some of these playoff games end up just being, you know, out of this world. And I think this playoff is set up for just that. This, even his first week, is very, very compelling.
Yeah, and we'll talk a little bit about some of the games that are coming up this weekend. And I, you know, I'm looking at it right now. I guess you're right. I'm looking at that Kansas City at Houston game. That's the one that's going to lead it off on Saturday afternoon at 4:20. I'm looking at that one. I'm thinking, but we can talk about that one
a
little bit.
Yeah, but that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game that's in primetime, boy, that's going to be a good one.
Well, yeah, but you know what? I would feel a whole heck of a lot better about that one if Dalton were playing. I got to be honest.
Well, he got his cast off today. They're looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing set in stone yet. They are preparing McCarron, but his cast was removed. They ain't removing the cast unless the X-ray was good.
And with due respect, I mean, I got to give McCarron at least a little bit of props. He has shown for the past couple of games that he's been in there that, well, okay. I mean, he doesn't look half bad. So, you know, we'll see. But, you know, when you start getting into the playoffs now, that's a whole different, thing. A couple of the big headlines that came out of last week's games, and there were some dog games on last week's schedule, week 17. There were some dog games in there. I mean, really. But a couple of things that jumped out. Holy smokes. We'll talk about the Jets here before the night's over. You know, there was a game they absolutely positively had to have, and they just came out and stunk the joint up. I would love to hear from Jets fans tonight. Anybody out there that wants to jump in with us, 347-826-9964. Don't hesitate. 347-826-9964. If you're listening on a computer and you're Skype capable, hit the Skype button. It'll put you through to us loud and clear, hopefully. I've noticed there, you know, I don't know, a few little glitches on the soundboard, so I guess everything else is working. So try that and see if you can get through on that one. Otherwise, you can hit us up in the Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. I'll be putting out our Twitter poll here momentarily. So the Jets stumbling and falling. Pittsburgh went out, took advantage of the Jets stumbling and falling, but the bottom line was, I don't believe the Pittsburgh Steelers were doing any scoreboard watching at all. They knew that what they had to do was they had to win, and that's exactly what they did. They went out and took care of their business, and that got them into the playoffs. Meanwhile, the Broncos wrapped up the number one seed, and I want to get into this conversation early on, Brandon, with you, because we started it on, I guess, on Sunday. We talked a little bit about it yesterday as well. I want to get into it because I know I've been promised one of our friends from out in Wyoming, Billy Bros, said he wanted to jump in on this conversation and might be jumping in as early as about quarter after the hour here this evening. So I want to get this conversation out of the way. Denver playing San Diego, and they needed to beat San Diego. And listen, the odds on were that Denver would beat San Diego easily. I believe they were like a 9-point favorite, for God's sake. So they got to go into San Diego, and they got to beat San Diego in order to get the number one seed, particularly after the New England Patriots dropped one earlier in the afternoon. But as that game was going on, for God's sakes, we saw early on, wasn't exactly going Denver's way. It was 7-6 Denver at halftime, but then suddenly San Diego comes on. They put up a quick touchdown, and it's 13-7. And I don't know, before you know it, I guess what, Peyton Manning comes in what, middle of the third quarter, I think it was, near the end of the third quarter. Peyton Manning comes in to relieve Brock Osweiler, who went 14 of 22 for a touchdown, had two interceptions. And did he have a fumble as well? I think he had a fumble. I think he also had a fumble as well.
Didn't fumble, but one of his receivers was stripped after a long game. Emmanuel Sanders.
Osweiler
took the ball away from him.
Osweiler, though,
Osweiler himself had a fumble.
Osweiler had a fumble and a lost fumble.
No, he did.
Emmanuel Sanders had one. C.J. Anderson had one, and Brock Osweiler. So there were three turnovers there, plus the two interceptions from Brock Osweiler himself. And then suddenly Peyton Manning comes in. Peyton Manning then proceeds to go 5 of 9, brings the team back from being, all right, somewhat behind, puts 13 points up in the fourth quarter, and now suddenly, I guess in some respects it's a good thing that they've got the bye week, but suddenly now it seems to me, I don't know, is it a controversy? Do the Broncos have a quarterback controversy? Because everything I'm hearing is that everybody said, well, it's got to be Peyton Manning. I'm going to be honest with you. You know me. I've been a Peyton Manning fan now for the better part of three seasons. Since he's been out there in Denver and has had his rejuvenated career there, I don't think that's that easy to say that, hey, it's got to be Peyton Manning. I'm not sold on that. I guess that's what everybody's thinking, right?
Well, that seems to be the general opinion. Hell, that was, you know, Al Michaels was all over that on the broadcast. He was incredulous to the idea of it, even of Osweiler even, you know, playing after this. Here's where I stand on it. Pretty simple. I think the experience level Peyton brings to the table is better than Osweiler. I'm not saying Osweiler's probably not a physically stronger quarterback right now. And I'm thinking, you know, long term, yeah, he could be good. But for right now, this season, I think Peyton Manning, and this is why I think the running game, the more I thought about it, the more I kind of think this way. I think the running game got better because he was better at calling out the defensive alignment. And I think they even said during the game at one point, he called an audible to change the direction of which the running play was called. I think that those are intangibles that Brock Osweiler just doesn't have the experience of, you know, to do just yet. And I'm not saying that as any kind of negative or detriment to Osweiler. I think he's going to be a good quarterback. He could be the next Aaron Rodgers type. You know, he spent 3-4 years under a Hall of Fame quarterback, you know, learning the game before he gets to play. You know, it's the kind of thing that, you know, same model as, you know, Aaron Rodgers did out there in Green Bay. I just think for this season, I think Peyton Manning, I don't know what it was. The team was all rejuvenated. All of a sudden, the offensive line could block when they couldn't block before. You know, C.J. Anderson and Hillman both, you know, had big games after he came in. So, you know, I think for the Broncos, it's a momentum slash leadership issue, I think. You know, and I'm not saying Osweiler's not going to be that, you know, in the next 2-3 seasons. It's just, I think for this season today, I think that's probably Peyton's your answer.
Yeah, I would agree with you that, and with all due respect, I'm going to be honest with you. Any argument I make right now has absolutely nothing to do with the future, because I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. What the Denver Broncos decide to do with their quarterback position next year is up to the Denver Broncos. I don't care. I really don't. My thinking is, you know, as somebody that follows the team, and I think from the standpoint of the fan base and from the standpoint of that team, what they need to be most concerned about, what is the most expedient way for us to win the next two games? They've got the bye this week. That's good. That helps them out. So then they've got to win two games to get to the Super Bowl. Then they got to win one more. So forget about the one 4 or 5 weeks from now. They got to get past the first two that they have to play, which will be week 2 and week 3 of the playoff season. All right. So when I look at it, the only thing that I have to base it upon is the Peyton Manning that I have seen through this season versus the Brock Osweiler that I have seen through this season. Now, when you look at it statistically, the numbers are somewhat comparable. I hear what you're saying about the running game suddenly becoming, well, in this particular game, suddenly coming back to life or something. But let's remember back, Brandon, when Peyton Manning was first running this team back earlier in the season, week 4, week 5, week 6, week 7, there really wasn't a ground game. Everybody was talking about what happened to C.J. Anderson. there was no ground game to speak of at all. It was only since Brock Osweiler has come in to take over that position that suddenly there has been a ground game. Now, I understand what you're saying about the fact that, you know, this past game against San Diego, yes, you can point to specific plays where it was evident that Peyton was standing up at the line. He was able to read the defensive formation that was coming at him. He was able to audible. He was able to change the play from, say, a passing play to a running play, and suddenly that opens up C.J. Anderson to take off up the left side of the field. There's a great article that I posted up over on our Frat House Sports page, Facebook page, and if anybody wants to get over and take a look at it, hey, Frat House Sports, leave spaces in between. Look for our little purple icon and give us a like, which came from USA Today, a columnist over on USA Today, where they're making the case that, in fact, Peyton Manning is the best possibility that the Denver Broncos have of winning longer into the playoffs over Brock Osweiler. And there are specific video examples that are placed embedded in the article, which are perfect, because you can see under Brock Osweiler a play where perhaps maybe it wasn't as successful. Peyton Manning, similar circumstances. Peyton Manning steps up, changes the play at the line. He's audibling. Suddenly, you've got a running play that's getting a lot more yards. I hear what you're saying. What, though, about the fact that I frankly think it really was Brock Osweiler that woke up the ground game for the Denver Broncos way back when he first took over. That's the argument I make. I mean, it might have been that way. It might have been that way this past week with Peyton Manning. But I think earlier in the season, when Brock Osweiler first took over, I think it was Brock Osweiler, because I didn't see Peyton using the ground game all that effectively to begin with.
Well, that could have just been a factor of play calling too. I mean, they may have, because clearly Brock Osweiler was lining up under center a lot more than Peyton. So I think Kubiak was calling different plays. Here's the experience factor, you know, is still going to be key to me. I just think Brock Osweiler doesn't have that much in-game experience yet. And I'm not disagreeing with you that, yes, he was the right, you know, play. Even, you know, you could make an argument if Peyton never even hurt his foot, you know, that he might have been the right play to put in there earlier. Not to say that they would have, because the backlash of Bench and Peyton Manning, you know, without an injury would have been just like, you know, the world would end, I guess, in some people's eyes. But here's what it comes down to. For the playoffs, you know, if I'm a Broncos fan, I want Peyton in there. At the very least, you know, at least to start the game. You know, if he's playing bad or gets hurt or re-injures himself a little bit, okay, then Brock can, you know, be the hero and come in off the bench like Peyton did last week. You know, that's kind of the way I would look at it. You know, you still got, you know, a solid backup in Brock. And I don't think it's going to damage him in any way by playing Peyton Manning, because I think he's known as his, you know, he was the backup going into the year. I don't think anything's severely changed on that. You know, I don't think his feelings would be hurt, you know, based on, you know, how that game played out, mm-hmm. You know? So,
well, I would agree with you. I don't think his feelings would be hurt. And you're absolutely right. I mean, you could always start a game with Peyton Manning, and if it looks like it's going south, I'm going to be honest with you. If it's me and I'm Gary Kubiak, I got a short hook. I got a short hook for the guy, because I cannot run the risk of having him come out and play games the way that we saw. Oh, my God, some of those games, Brandon, back, you know, like I said, week 5, week 6, week 7, some of those games were absolutely horrible to watch. They were painful. It was downright painful to watch him out there just struggling the way that he was.
But he was winning. You know, they were winning ugly.
Well, they were.
They were very ugly, but they were still winning the games. It's not like they were putting up a goose egg, not winning. You know, they were still winning the games. So you got to at least factor that in. Well, look, you know me. I've never liked Peyton Manning. I'm not a Peyton Manning fan. whatsoever. I will say this. He is clearly going to be a first-round, you know, ballot Hall of Famer. I'm not going to take that away from him. And I think he deserves to go out on a good note. And if, you know, him starting and winning a playoff game or two or three, whatever it is, you know, I mean, I don't want to see him win the Super Bowl, obviously. I want my team to win. But, you know, at the same token, it's, you know, he deserves to go out better than, you know, injured or riding the bench as a backup, in my opinion.
Wow.
And I think this, you know, I think he's clearly done in Denver. And going forward, it's going to be Brock's team, you know, no matter what. I think he's done enough to prove, you know, to the staff, at least he deserves, you know, at least he deserves a season or two to, you know, to give it a shot. I think he's earned that. So, you know, I think, you know, that's kind of the way it should play out. And it kind of looks like it is setting up to play that way.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's funny because, you know, you're saying, you know, I know you that you've never been a Peyton Manning fan. You're absolutely right. And the crazy thing is, sitting here making the argument that I am, you know me, that in the past three seasons, I have been a big, big Peyton Manning fan. I I've gone on record. I've stated here many, many times. I never was a big Peyton Manning fan until he went to Denver. And my thinking has always been I liked the Peyton Manning story. The fact that he was able to come back from adversity. Very Joe Montana-esque to come back from that injury where people said he would never play again. I was one of the people that said it. I was one of the people that said he will never play the game of football ever again in his life. And he came back and he made me and so many other people, he made us all wrong. And not only wrong, but at the level that he did. So I think it's ironic that you're sitting there kind of arguing what should be my argument, and I'm arguing, you know what? I don't know if I'm a Denver fan whether I would want my team taking the chance. I think you got to go with Osweiler. I'll tell you, I'd love to hear from Denver Broncos fans. If you're a Denver Broncos fan, I don't care where you are in the country. But you got to be a card-carrying Denver Broncos fan. That's going to be that's the thing. In order to get on the program, you got to prove you're a Denver Broncos card-carrying fan member. I'd love to hear from you on this topic. Who do you want? Who do you want? And who do you feel the most comfortable with? You know, commanding your team into these playoffs as the number one seed. I mean, the number one seed in the AFC. Give us a holler, 347-826-9964. If you're in the Mile High City, call us up, 347-826-9964. I want to hear from you. Otherwise, the Frat House Sports Poll is out over on my Twitter account. And the poll question is, does Peyton Manning give the NFL Broncos a better chance to win? Yes or no? Does he give them a better chance to win? Peyton Manning. There it is. Get over to my...
Yes.
Get over to my Twitter.
Here's
account,
my vote, yes.
At Frat House Mike. At Frat House Mike, and you can participate in that one. Thank you very much.
Can I be honest with you? Can
yeah.
I be honest with you?
Oh, absolutely.
As a Patriots fan,
I wouldn't expect
as a Patriots fan, I would love to see Pittsburgh go into Cincinnati this week, beat them up, go out to Denver, you know, give them a game out of it, and then, you know, have them win and come to New England and let's settle it. That's kind of the way I would like to see it to go. And, you know, I still think Peyton Manning goes out on a high note if he plays well in the playoffs. It's irrelevant if he actually wins a game or not. And,
okay.
you know me, I've beat the stat to death. You know, three
oh,
out of four,
know,
you know, first
I'm,
rounds,
yeah,
he goes home.
It. I'm waiting
yeah.
for it.
So there you go. I mean, there it is. That's his history. And we ain't talking, we're talking like, you know, 8 out of 12 games in the playoffs, he's lost first round. I mean, we're not talking no, 1 out of 3 or something like that. No. We're talking, you know, he's lost at a 750 rate for a long time, for a lot of games.
Okay,
so
let me get this one straight. What you want is you want Pittsburgh to go to Cincinnati, beat up on A.J. McCarron and the Bengals this weekend. Then you want them to go to Denver and beat up on Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos and to come back and have to play at Gillette Stadium for the AFC Championship.
Yep. That would be perfect, especially if they're good, you know, real tough games them first two. You know, maybe Pittsburgh gets a little dinged up. Heck, I'm all for stacking the deck in my team's favor. Let's face it, how the cards fall often play, you know, plays out who goes to the Super Bowl. do I think that'll probably not, you know, because every time you think you know what's going to happen, especially in the first round, you know, the opposite happens. You know, I haven't seen any early lines. I would imagine, you know, Cincinnati's going to be the favorite either way. I think if Dalton's playing, I think their number goes up.
I can tell you right now that the last I checked the line on it, Brandon, Pittsburgh is the favorite. In fact, are you ready for this? Three of four of the road teams this weekend are all favorites. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, and Seattle, all on the road, are favorites. The Redskins are a favorite by only 1 point at home, which really is a Green Bay line. But nonetheless, the Redskins are a favorite against the Green Bay Packers. Can you imagine?
I think that's wrong.
The only hope now, those were early lines. Those were the lines that I looked at from
yesterday.
How close is the
Pittsburgh line?
Well, I'm going to check it real quick here right now.
The only reason I'm asking is because I'm curious if that's a factor of it being McCarron over Dalton that they're looking is going to be the starter.
The lines that I looked at were from yesterday. I'm looking at it right now for the first time. Sneezed. I'm looking out for the first time today. Pittsburgh continues to be a 2.5-point road favorite. 2.5 points. That's significant.
Yeah, that is. I have to agree with you.
Let me do this because I know we're only going to get a couple of minutes. I want to bring in people who have listened to the Frat House Sports Radio Network in the past have heard Billy Brost on with us before. And Billy's coming to us from Wyoming. Billy is the editor of baseballmagazine.net and is a big, big Denver Broncos fan. Billy, how you doing? How are things in Wyoming tonight? Is it cold out there?
It is getting cold. The sun is down, so it means that the temperatures will be nearing zero or underneath that here very, very quickly. Happy New Year, guys.
You too, man.
Same to you.
Let's talk real quick. I know you only have a couple of minutes. I did want to get your thoughts on this. And I said I want to hear from card carrying Denver Broncos fans. I know you are one. You were at the stadium last weekend?
I was. I was there for Broncos Chargers.
That's what I thought. I thought I saw pictures of you there. So there you go, folks. We have our card carrying Broncos fan on the line. I'll put it out to you as straight as I can, Billy. The question I'm asking tonight is this. Does Peyton Manning give the Broncos a better chance of winning in the playoffs?
No.
How about that? How about that? Go ahead. Sum it up for me.
Well, Osweiler's younger. He's more athletic. He's more mobile. He helps the running game because he can perform the bootlegs. I mean, let's face it, Peyton Manning is not 100%. He's nowhere near 100%. Even when he is 100%, he is a statue. The guy cannot move. Now you're talking to Peyton Manning at 70%. You know, sure. Did I like the move to kind of re-energize the offense Sunday? Yeah, I did. Does that mean that he's back and he's ready to lead this team to the Super Bowl? Absolutely not. Brock Osweiler... And I don't know if you guys watched that game Sunday on TV or not, but five turnovers. They're lucky they won the game, first of all, because a better team would have pounded them on five turnovers. But those interceptions, not Brock Osweiler's fault. They simply weren't.
Agreed.
Both those balls were tipped. You look at the other turnover. Emmanuel Sanders getting cute as he thinks he's going in for a score, tries to shuck and jive and spin his way out of a tackle, ends up coughing up the football. The running back, C.J. Anderson, coughing up the football. How's that Brock Osweiler's fault?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Last time I looked, you know, he beat Cincinnati just over a week ago now. And sure, the Bengals are a lot better when Andy Dalton's their quarterback, and if Cincinnati wins on Sunday, I'm guessing it will be Andy Dalton coming back. They beat the Patriots with him. You know, the last time Peyton Manning started a football game, he threw 5 interceptions
mm-hmm.
to the Chiefs.
Yep.
So that right there, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Peyton Manning. I appreciate everything he's done for the franchise. But if you look back at his performances in the playoffs as a Denver Bronco, you know, it's been some shoddy work. A year ago, what happened at home against the Colts? Andrew Luck made him look every bit his age. That defense made him look every bit his age. The winter before, we know what happened in the Super Bowl. Year before that, what did Baltimore do? They came into Denver, and they shocked the world.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that Peyton Manning is the hands-down starter because he has more experience, he's got more experience at choking. That's the only thing he's got on Brock Osweiler, and I'm sorry. You know, the Broncos have moved on. Brock Osweiler is a free agent at the end of the year. If they have any hope of keeping him, he will start every single playoff game Denver's in. And if you have to go to Manning, if Brock's struggling or the offense just isn't getting going, fine. You know, you always say you have to have two solid quarterbacks to win a Super Bowl. This could be that situation. I would expect Manning to retire at the end of the season. I expect the Broncos to do whatever they have to do to keep Brock Osweiler. It starts now, and you make him the starter. You have to.
What about the argument, Billy, and Brandon's made it, and I can let Brandon speak for himself, obviously, but Brandon made the argument that, and I've seen it made in other columnists, that, you know, the experience of Peyton Manning, you know, he can step up there to the line, he can read the defensive formation much faster, much quicker, with a lot more experience than Brock Osweiler can. That's what opened up the running game on Sunday. That was the argument that was made, and yet the argument I made was, hey, there wasn't much of a running game back, if you remember, in week 5, 6, 7 with Peyton Manning running the offense. It wasn't until Brock Osweiler came in that suddenly C.J. Anderson became a household name again.
Well, exactly. I mean, I know you guys play fantasy football. Everyone jumped all over C.J. Anderson coming into the season as a sleeper running back. He was a spectator, basically. The first 5 weeks of the season, 6, 7 weeks of the season, Manning gets hurt, pulled, however you want to term it. Brock Osweiler, the running game, comes back alive, and I think part of that was the blocking scheme. I think those linemen were learning Gary Kubiak's zone blocks, which is a Mike Shanahan trait. And, you know, sure, did I think that Peyton Manning did a better job Sunday in his brief appearance? Yes, I do. But at the same time, Brock Osweiler was not bad. If you remember how that game opened up, he threw a 72-yard touchdown to Demaryius Thomas that opened scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started coughing the football up. You know, does Peyton Manning make better reads and adjust at the line better? Yes, he does. That's the experience. And I'll give Peyton Manning credit for one thing, and I don't know if you guys noticed this the first part of the season. It looked like every throw he made was a wounded duck. You know, I'd be sitting there watching the game on TV, and every time he'd throw the football, I'd yell, "Pause."
Yep.
Because I was ready to shoot the clay pigeon.
Yep.
I watched him during warmups Sunday. And my buddy who flew up from Vegas, who was a big Chargers fan, I nudged him. I said, "Look." I said, "His throws are crisp. His spirals are tight. He looks like he used to." Now, does that mean it's going to carry over into 2 weeks? We don't know. The man's 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's lucky to be upright still. But
yeah,
his throws, he made some good throws Sunday to keep Bronco drives going. He did. He made the throw to Owen Daniels. He made a nice throw to Demaryius Thomas.
Yep.
But at the same time, let me ask you this. How many pick sixes has Brock Osweiler thrown since he's been the starter?
Yeah. Yep. the you know, and Brandon, I don't think we've missed a Broncos game all season long, honestly. How many times did, you know, what Billy's saying, I would sit there saying the exact same thing. You know, his form, it just didn't look right, Billy. When he would stand back there and throw, the leg, his back leg would be coming up straight. It was just weird looking. The whole throw looked bad.
Well, here's the thing. If you look back at this season, when they came off the bye that first week or two, his balls looked crisper as he was throwing. He looked like the rest did him some good. Well, this time he had 6 weeks to rest. So, yeah, I think he's in the best shape he could be. This is probably almost the best possible outcome for Peyton, if you think about it. You know, he had a nice long break. He's rested, came in, looked pretty good the last game of the year. Now he's going to come in for the playoffs. I don't know. I think it's a pretty good scenario, if you ask me.
Well, Billy, what I like as a Broncos fan is that it now gives opposing teams, whether it's Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, whoever they see down the line, now they have to prepare for not one quarterback. Now they have to prepare for two. And you couldn't find two more polar opposite quarterbacks, really, on the same roster than Brock Osweiler and Peyton Manning, and that's always a good thing.
What's the word out of Denver at this point? Now, obviously, you know, Denver's not playing this week, so, you know, they can play it very close to the vest at this point right now. They don't have to say anything at all. But what's the general thinking? What's the word out of Denver right now as far as, you know, which direction they're going to be going when they open up in 2 weeks?
Yeah, you know, Gary Kubiak is still keeping very quiet about how or which direction he's going to go. The fan consensus is that Peyton Manning should be the starter. It's a very small percentage of us Broncos fans that think Brock Osweiler should get the start in 2 weeks. I posed the question last night, and I know you saw this, Mike. You know, my answer to who do you start, Osweiler or Manning, I think it comes down to a couple of factors. Number one, who they're playing. Because if, say, Pittsburgh shocks the world and ends up having to come to Denver, their pass rush is not nearly as dangerous as Cincinnati's. You might be able to get away with Peyton Manning and starting and winning that game. If it's the Bengals, you've got to have somebody that can move around, tuck the ball, and take off running occasionally. And I'm not saying he's got to be Cam Newton. He doesn't. But he can't be a statue back there and get sacked seven times either, because in the playoffs, all the chips are down.
Yep.
Defenses are pumped. You know, the environment's pumped. If Cincinnati wins this first playoff game, that's going to be the monkey off their back. And believe me, if they win and come into Denver, they want to knock the number one seed out. They want to pop them right in the mouth. Oh. To me, if it's Peyton Manning, it's going to be a long day.
You got to know that. Absolutely. I don't care who the opponent's going to be. It doesn't matter who it would be, Pittsburgh or otherwise. They're all going to be gunning for Denver. And in my opinion, I've been saying it. Listen, I am a monster Peyton Manning fan going back to when he first came to Denver. But if you're rooting for this Denver Broncos team, you gotta think Osweiler, I think, at this point right now is the better option. That's just my personal opinion.
Completely agree. Couldn't agree more.
Billy, thank you. I'm going to let you get. I know you got a meeting, so thanks. I appreciate you jumping in with us tonight.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it, man.
All right,
for those that are interested, you can catch up with what Billy's doing. A monster baseball guy. He's been on our cleanup hitters program many, many times. A good, good friend of Fred L. Sports, too, all the way out there in Wyoming, and the editor of baseballmagazine.net. I'm sure that we will have we'll be hearing many, many times from Billy Brost with us. You know, once we get our baseball program, won't be long now before. Holy smokes! I'm trying to think. Somebody was just bringing up today, Brandon. Pitchers and catchers, February 16. Think about that one.
Yeah.
It's January 5. Think about that one.
Yeah.
Oh,
baseball can wait. Football's on right now.
I hear you.
Playoffs,
all right,
man.
There you go. We heard from. We heard from a legitimate card-carrying Denver fan. I appreciate that. That's good stuff. Good stuff right there. All right, so I wanted to get into that because I knew Billy was going to possibly be jumping in with us a little bit. Now, the Jets and the Steelers were an interesting situation on Sunday. Brandon, I want to get into that just a little bit. Let's talk about this Jets team for a moment. And again, hey, if there are Jets fans out there, I put it out there before. I'm going to put it out there again. Hey, give us a holler here. I want to hear from the card-carrying Jets fans, really. And listen, there's a lot of them out there that are personal friends of mine over on Facebook. So if you're listening and you're a Jets fan, I'm talking to you. Get on the phone, 347-826-9964. I'm not a big Jets fan, but I got to tell you something. This one had to kill Jets fans, honest to God. All the Jets had to do was go into Buffalo and win. And we talked about this one a little bit on last Wednesday night, on our Frat House Sports Show. And I made the point of saying, you know, listen, they're going up against Rex Ryan. You got to know, and I understand this is the second time that Rex would be playing him. He's playing him in Buffalo now. So, and he knows that if he knocks him off, he's got a chance of knocking out their playoff hopes. It seemed to me, Brandon, we watched the game. It seemed to me that the Jets played down. They did not look like the same team. In other words, I don't think this game did not appear to me to be a situation where Buffalo was flying so high as to, hey, we're going to go out and kick their butt. Albeit, listen, the defense had 3 interceptions on Ryan Fitzpatrick. So, you know, you got to give that to the Buffalo defense. But it really didn't look to me like it was an impossibility, even with a good defensive game plan by the Buffalo Bills. The Jets still were in the game. It just looked to me like the Jets weren't up for the game. I don't know. What was your take on this? All the Jets had to do was come in and win the game, and they're in the playoffs. That's all they had to do. And they just fell short.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, you pointed it out. I mean, the Rex Ryan revenge factor probably played a bit into it. Buffalo was kind of on the fringe of making the playoffs, you know, most of the season. So they probably are like, hey, we can keep our own division rival out. They probably got up for the game a little more than you would have thought for a meaningless game for them. So, yeah, I mean, it all probably played into it. And, yeah, you're right. The Jets probably played down. They probably didn't play up to their potential for sure. I mean, you said we talked about the game. I think all of us, everybody, including, you know, Sidekick, you, myself, Jim Williams, everybody picked the Jets to win.
Yep.
And that didn't happen. So, you know, I'm kind of glad. I mean, I'm not you know me. I hate the Jets and Dolphins, especially in the NFC, in the AFC East. But, you know, I wanted to see Pittsburgh make it, and that was the only one happening. So I'm kind of glad the outcome worked out pretty perfectly for the Steelers, at least.
Now, the question I threw out there, and I don't mean this to sound judgmental or anything, but I just ask it overall. And maybe it's a completely unfair question because, look, I mean, for all intent and purposes, it's not Rex Ryan's team any longer. I think if it were Rex, that is the Jets. If the Jets were Rex Ryan's team, it might be a fairer question. But the question I ask is this. When you get a team like the Jets, all right, who going into that game were 10-5, and look, let's get it straight. They have the AFC they got to play against. And you know, I don't care who you have to play. I mean, you know, I know you got Miami in there and what have you, but you know as well as I do, and we watch the AFC very closely here. You play a game in the AFC East that I don't care who you play, that's going to be a tough game. It's always a tough game. Those inner rivalry games in the AFC East are always tough matchups. You got that. But for the most part, the Jets had a pretty nice schedule for the most part. 10-5, though. 10-5 they were under new head coach Todd Bowles. And you go into a game like this one where all you got to do is win. That's all you got to do. And you lose by 5 points. Is that a character flaw in the team?
Possibly. I'll be honest with you. A lot of the games that they did win in those 10, I thought they got lucky and they kind of played over their heads a lot of times. There are a lot of games in there that I picked against them to win. And it wasn't just because I'm not a Jets fan. I didn't think they were that good of a team. I actually thought the Bills were a better team for a while. Going down the stretch, they had a pretty even record, you know, and then at the very end of the season, the Jets kind of pulled away. But the Jets and the Bills were basically even, you know, from three quarters of the season up to that point. And, you know, they were both still in the playoff race. And mm-hmm. I thought the Bills were a better team. And, you know, I don't know if that's, you know, the Jets played better down the stretch up until that game, and the Bills kind of fell off. But, you know, they play on the last game of the year, and the Bills beat the Jets. So, you know, it's hard to say. It's Ryan, one of those things.
Right. And
you know,
Ryan,
it's tough to look at.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, who, you know, everybody has marveled at. We've all marveled at him here this whole season. And now, of course, as we've gotten near the end of the season, there's been rumors that, in fact, the Jets would be talking to him in the off season about an extension to his contract, and you know, I think this had to be his worst game of the entire season. Brandon, 16-37, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. A 42.7 passer rating. I don't think we've seen numbers that low from Ryan Fitzpatrick all season long. So it was almost as if he waited until the very last game of the season when it was, you know, everything in the season is riding on the line in one game, and he comes out and has a game like that one. Absolutely horrible. And it almost seems to be, I don't know, unforgivable. I mean, I'm trying to think if that happened in Philadelphia, people would be absolutely calling for his head, seriously.
Tend to agree with you.
I mean, that's just absolutely, absolutely incredible. But nonetheless, Brandon Marshall had himself a good game. 8 receptions, 126 yards, a touchdown, and a great game for Brandon Marshall. Another great season for Eric Decker. We talked about Eric Decker all season long. 5 receptions for 50 yards and a touchdown again. Again, a touchdown for Eric Decker. So, terrific performance from the receivers. But, man, alive! Ryan Fitzpatrick. Holy smokes. Let me do this because we might have a little bit of insight here. We haven't heard from Richard in New York in a little while. I know he tried getting through to us on Wednesday night last, and of course we had that monster program there, Brandon, and it was very difficult to get anybody that was sitting on hold on that program last Wednesday night. But we've got Richard from New York. Richard, do you have any insight you can bring to us? How are you? Do you have a happy New Year? Do you have any insight you can bring to us on the Jets?
Yeah, I can. All I can tell you is they're dejected, disappointed, and kind of like, well, what are you going to do with the Jets? I mean, they don't want to kill Fitzpatrick because he got them that far. But people were just so, I mean, incredulous that this could happen in that game. I was at a sports bar in the beginning of the game when the Jets were trailing 13-0, and people were like, come on, this is the... Come on, it's dirty. Come on, guys. Like, you know, they couldn't believe it. I mean, like, they were upset. And then I left. I left to actually tune in to the second half of the Bears game. But, I mean, evidently it got worse for the Jets.
Well, you know, with all due respect, look, and I, like I said before, I'm not a Jets fan. I'm a football fan, so we watch everything here. But I got to be honest, I would have to say that my reaction was not dissimilar to what you heard from the people in the sports bar right there in New York. A little bit of disbelief. That's exactly what I was. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, they just, you know.
They weren't happy.
I got a lot of friends on Facebook, just because of proximity and what have you, who are New York fans, that is Jets fans or Giants fans. And, of course, I've had a cross-section the past couple of days, you know. I've had a cross-section of the two of them. And interestingly, that you're saying that you're finding that the Jets fans up there are kind of like that their reaction is, well, it's the Jets. Because I'll tell you, the reaction I've heard from Jets fans who are friends of mine on Facebook has been one that they're not happy. They are a little bit perturbed, a little bit angry. And I got to be honest with you, I don't necessarily blame them. You know, I recognize the whole, hey, it's a new coach, it's a new era sort of thing that's going on with the Jets. Look, you know, let them build his program. But, you know, for God's sake, it's with a win. That's all you had to do.
Well, let me tell you, Wilkerson, I think, is that his name? Wilkinson, or the defensive tackle, broke his leg in the third quarter. And this sports talent guy NYC One said, well, even if the Jets got into the playoffs, they'd have a very tough time because this guy, Wilkerson, got hurt. He's a starting defensive tackle. He's
Mohamed Wilkerson. Mohamed Wilkerson, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
He broke his leg.
Mm-mm-mm.
So, I mean, even if they did get in, they'd be out. I mean, this guy's good. So, I mean...
Well,
I saw him get escorted off the field. He looked like he was really hurt.
If they had gotten in, Brandon, they would have been the sixth seed.
Yep, they would have been in instead of Pittsburgh. I think Pittsburgh kind of has a chance to do a lot more in the playoffs than the Jets did anyway.
But pardon the pun. I the wild card game is playing the Cincinnati Bengals because, see, that's the whole thing that we're all sitting around going, oh, my gosh, I got to play the Bengals. But wait a minute, it's the Bengals without Dalton. Wait a minute, it's the Bengals with A.J. McCarron. You know, frankly, a Pittsburgh Steelers team, a New York Jets team, might be able to knock off a Cincinnati Bengals team with A.J. McCarron running it. I said that a week ago. I said, wow, it's kind of a shame when you think about what's happening with Cincinnati, because at one point it looked like they might have been the number one or number two seed, which means they would have gotten the bye this week. That's exactly what they needed. They needed the bye. That would have given Dalton that extra week. They may end up having to play this week, and if they play this week, you're playing potentially with a backup quarterback, and then you could get bounced in the first round. That is the...
Well, I wouldn't say that as gold just
yet.
I know.
I'm just speculating. I realize. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, you know, there may be an Andy Dalton sighting come Saturday night. So we'll have to just wait and see how the week progresses. I mean, they did remove his cast. They're not removing his cast unless the bones are healed enough to do that. So... You know, I think there's a chance he could play. They said today, after the cast was removed, that they had to see how his grip strength was with that, you know, non-throwing hand in practice. And that's how they were going to determine, you know, where he went from there.
Right.
So, you know, like I said, I don't think it's set in stone that you're going to see McCarron just yet.
Hey, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Wanted to say the Sunday's head story, one of the lead stories in the sports section was the sock in the face that saved the Jets season, referring to the guy who broke Geno Smith's jaw. That's pretty funny.
Oh, wow. You know, when you think about it now.
I mean, that saved the season.
Of course. I don't know. We don't. You wouldn't know, I suppose. You know, you got to wonder what's going to happen to that poor guy. Geno Smith, what's going to happen to him? Well, you know, and I'm sitting here going, you know, I just got done talking about Ryan Fitzpatrick and how they, you know, talking about potentially extending him on a contract. I guess that might be the thing to do at this point. But boy, oh boy, what a game this past week. Hey, Richard, while I got you, listen, the other half of the story there from New York, Tom Coughlin bowing out. Allegedly. I think everybody can see through that blue smoke and mirrors, can't we?
Yes.
He was pressured out, right?
Pressured out.
The fact he walked by Mara today without even looking at him, shaking hands with him or anything, it certainly appeared to me that there's no love lost there.
Probably not. I mean, when you don't make the playoffs four seasons in a row, that's it. Kind of takes away the luster of winning two Super Bowls.
The fan base there, however, and again, I can only use it by a microcosm of what I get from the folks on my Facebook page who are Giants fans. They're taking it as a sign of disrespect, a slap in the face. Is that the read up there in New York that the guy was mistreated?
I can't really say that for sure. All I know is that fans do have positive feelings about him,
mm-hmm.
And they're kind of like parsing exactly what happened. Well, they don't really, they're not giving Coughlin his due and blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And this,
right.
That, the other thing. And they're
right.
Not respecting this guy. And why is that? I mean, you know, gee, two Super Bowls and this. I mean, bottom line is the season was horrible. The season they had was horrible. How
yeah.
can you have that guy, that wide receiver, do the stuff he did on the field? You know, and not, you know, not have the coach kick him out of the game. I mean, what's his name?
Odell Beckham.
Yeah. I mean, something had to be done. And it wasn't going to be pretty either way. You know, something had to be done. And whether Coughlin walked into the office, they were like discussing that on the radio today. Well, he did, yeah, but he was fired. No, he wasn't, but he resigned. He saved face, this. I mean, bottom line, he's not coaching next year. That's the bottom line. He's not coaching next year at the Giants.
But I was just going to say, though, but let me ask you, though, do you think he will be coaching? Because apparently he's still leaving the door open. A lot of us, I think, down here, and I'll let Brandon speak for himself, I think have kind of said all along, hey, you know what, Tom, you know, you ought to just hang it up now. Look, dude, you're going to be 70 years old. And leave it alone. Now you got grandkids. Go have some fun with the grandkids. You know, leave the game behind now. But do you think he might be coaching someplace in the NFL?
I wouldn't put it past him.
Would you want him at your Chicago Bears?
I wouldn't hire him. No. I would not hire him. No. No. He'd have to bring Odell Beckham with him.
You want Odell Beckham
yeah,
as part of it?
Yeah, Jeffrey Beckham and Kevin White next year. Okay, I can live with that. Yeah. Bring Odell Beckham with him. And then he can coach, like, be the offensive coordinator.
You'll be okay with Odell Beckham's antics so long as he's wearing the Chicago Bears colors. I got you.
As long as he doesn't spear anybody. break his head or somebody else's neck.
Hey, listen, my Philadelphia Eagles might be interviewing Adam Gase. I'd be okay with that. What do you think?
It's a good hire. He's a good coach. Good coach. Can't go wrong with him.
I'm going to be honest with you. Of all the candidates I've heard for the Philadelphia Eagles, he's the one that I kind of like. I'm kind of the highest on Adam Gase.
He's talented. He's a hot coach. They say in Chicago he won't be there. He'll be gone.
Do you think he'll be? Because, you know, I've actually heard too that he's kind of a little overhyped.
No, he's hot. He's a hot coach.
Okay. All right.
He'll be gone within a month.
Oh, okay. So if it's not the Eagles, you think he'll be with one of the other opens?
I think the Giants have asked permission to talk to him.
I also heard the Giants have wanted to talk to Chip Kelly. I'm okay with that too.
Wow. Maybe they want to speak with Lovie Smith. Who knows?
Lovie ain't going nowhere. He's got himself a good deal down there in Tampa Bay. He's got himself his franchise quarterback. That's for sure.
Yeah, he does.
That kid might just be the rookie of the year. I'm not sure. Oh,
he was talented.
All right, Richard, we appreciate it. It's been a little while. Apologies for not being able to get you in on a couple of those shows. But sometimes we're up against it time wise.
Okay, well, it was nice talking to you guys.
All right, Richard, you take care, man.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You got it.
Bye.
Well, we got around. We knocked off a few things there with Richard, right? What did we touch on? We touched on the Eagles, the Bears, the Giants, and the Jets. Yeah, look at there. Economy. We got through a couple of economy things there. That's good work. Anyhow, how about this one, though, Brandon? The Pittsburgh... we were just talking about the I said, there's the Jets. You know, they don't get the job done. Pittsburgh, on the other hand, and we had this game on, I think, almost the whole time as well. We were following this one closely. Pittsburgh going to Cleveland. Now, of course, look, it's Cleveland. And they took care of what they had to do, 28-12. No problem. Roethlisberger, 24-36. 349 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and what, he had a passer rating of over 100, 102.7. And therein lies what, I guess, the difference of what I was talking about before. You know, the character flaw sort of thing. Here's Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh knew they had to win the game, but some other things were going to have to fall in place. Namely, the Jets were going to have to lose. But Pittsburgh's not worrying about what the Jets have to do. All they knew was, hey, we got to go in and win. That's the first thing that we've got to do. And that's exactly what they did. They went in, they took care of business, and they got their win, and then things kind of fell into place as the Jets went and lost, and that helped put, I guess it was that. That was the factor, right? That was the only thing that really mattered. Pittsburgh win.
Yeah, for Pittsburgh, yeah, it was Pittsburgh or the Jets.
Yeah, Jets lose, Pittsburgh wins, Pittsburgh gets in. So Pittsburgh did exactly what they had to do. There's one thing that bothers me, and, you know, and I hear, you know, we've talked, you and I have talked, and it's been talked about over here at Fried House Sports now numerous times in the past, 2 weeks or so. You know, who's the, of the 12 teams that are going into the playoffs, the one team, who's that one team that could take a team by surprise? And in the AFC side, you'd have to look at Pittsburgh. There's a team that could take teams by surprise, end up maybe in the AFC championship, maybe even a little bit further. But there's something that bothers.
Well, there's only one step past the AFC championship.
That's my point. I said AFC championship or maybe one step further. But there's one thing that bothers me about them getting the job done and all of what I just talked about. Roethlisberger's turnover numbers. He turns the ball over an awful lot. He has turned the ball over a lot this year. For the season, he had 21 touchdounds and 16 INTs. little bit of a scary factor, I would think, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan. That's the one statistic there that might be a bit concerning. I mean, I'm just looking at last week's numbers again. 3 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. A lot of times that's what you're seeing. You're seeing 1 more touchdown to 1 less interception. A little bit concerning there. But nonetheless, this Pittsburgh team, and we've talked about it now. They I hear what you're saying. I'm using it for radio talk here. You got a Cincinnati Bengals team that is seeded number 3, and yet some people would say, well, that's not exactly a correct number 3 right now if you don't have your number 1 starting quarterback. So, Pittsburgh could easily go in and win this game this week, and that would put them advanced to the next level. So interesting how we continue to follow that one. But Pittsburgh could very well, particularly if they were to take the next step this coming weekend, could very well end up being that kind of sleeper team in the playoffs. But the IN.
Well, I think you could see up to 4. You could see 4 road teams win this week. I think it's conceivable that all 4 of the visiting teams that are the lower seeds could win, just based on the matchups. I think Kansas City is a better team than Houston. I think the Green Bay Packers, even though they haven't been the greatest, are a better team than Washington. And Pittsburgh clearly is favored over the Bengals. Seattle's been on a tear. Minnesota, Seattle, that might be the one. I don't know. Which one do you call? I mean, all the 4 road teams could all win. You know, especially if you look at who's hot, because all those road teams right now are the hot teams.
Kansas City is favored by 3 as a road team. Pittsburgh, as I pointed out earlier, is favored by 2.5 on the road. Seattle, Brandon, are you ready, is favored by 5.5 on the road in Minnesota. And
wow.
Green Bay is favored by, as I pointed out, just 1. And that flipped, actually, right? Because didn't I say Washington was actually, I think Washington was favored yesterday by
right.
1. Now it's Green Bay by 1. So that has the, you know.
So all 4 road teams are now the favorites.
Are now the favorite. Right. Correct.
Wow.
So.
I don't know if you've ever seen that before in the NFL.
I can't, listen, when I pulled it up yesterday, I was shocked to see the 3 out of 4. And now I'm looking at it again, and it's now 4 out of 4. So all the home teams are underdogs. And 2 of these with very, very low over-unders, as a matter of fact, as well. Kansas City and Houston, the over-under is only 40. And Seattle, Minnesota, the over-under is only 40. So 2 low over-unders on both those games. So you're absolutely right. I mean, every single one of the 5 and 6 seeded teams could easily advance this week. And I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to be picking them myself. Seattle, Minnesota is a tough pick. That's a tough pick. I'm going to be.
They're all tough. They're all tough, if you ask me.
I don't know if they're all tough, but I think Seattle, Minnesota is tough. I think Green Bay, Washington. Green Bay, Washington is tough only because the line is so odd. That line is just weird. But Seattle, Minnesota is a tough game to pick. But anyhow, but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's it could very, very, very well go that way. 2 other things, though, I wanted to bring up, Brandon, and it kind of ties into games that we saw. First of all, the Patriots lost last week in their final game of the season. Lost to the Miami Dolphins 20-10. You and I have talked about this. We've talked about how many times have we talked about this on Frat House Sports in one program or another? The New England Patriots do not lose 2 in a row. You know what the New England Patriots did this past weekend? They lost two in a row. And when you put it together with other previous losses, they've lost four of their past six. So just something to think about there. The Packers as well lost to the Minnesota Vikings 20-13. With that loss, they're 4-6 in their last 10 games. 4-6 in their last 10 games. What do you make of both those numbers? What do you make of both those teams? What do you make of the fact that the momentum at the end of the season doesn't seem to be looking real good for them? I think with the Patriots, it's a little bit easier to explain, isn't it? I mean, it's the lack of all those.
Yeah, it's the injuries, the lack of a true running back at this point, short of, you know, Steven Jackson, who's, I'm not saying he's a true running back, but he's clearly at the end of his career. Here's what it comes down to, though, from what I did read. Tom Brady got his ankle rolled up on late in the game, and they put Garoppolo in because they weren't taking any more chances. The game really became meaningless to a degree at the point of, well, do we risk Tom Brady when the offensive line is clearly struggling and, you know, he's already hurt now. He did have an MRI. His ankle's just sprained. They don't expect it to be an issue. They do expect a couple other people, though, on defense and Julian Edelman to come back. So, you know, we'll see. I mean, we'll see where they, you know, who they get in the draw. You know, Kansas City beats Houston. You know, let's just say, for example, the favorites win. Pittsburgh wins. They go to Denver because the lowest seed goes to the highest. That would leave Kansas City or Houston to New England. I like our odds against either one of them in New England with a, you know, semi-healthy team. I mean, yeah, we're still lacking at the running back position, but, you know, you're right, though. They have not had their strong December like they normally do. Mm-hmm. They're definitely limping into the playoffs, you know, literally limping is, you know, Tom Brady has a sprained ankle.
Right.
Limping into the playoffs. as far as the Packers, it's hard to explain the Packers. They started the season off with like gangbusters without Jordy Nelson, but then he seemed to be a big, you know, glaring missing piece, you know, as the season went on. I don't know, you know, is Rodgers playing a little hurt maybe? Something just seems off with that team.
Something really does seem off. Absolutely seems off. Yep. Yep. Absolutely seems off. Yeah. And you know what else seems off? I just lost Brandon. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Let me get, I got Jess on the line. We've heard Jess Vitton here before. So let me get Jess on the line because Jess has got some numbers here. Jess, thanks for calling. Fred House Sports, listen, you couldn't have been on the line holding at a more appropriate time since I just lost Brandon. You got some numbers here. I want to, that you're firing off to us here in our chat room. Because I'm talking about teams here in the New England Patriots, as I just pointed out, who are, what did I say? They've lost four of their last six. So they're 4-6 in their, two and four in their last six. And the Packers, who are 4-6 in their last 10. Yep. And you've got some numbers for Super Bowl teams going back a couple of years. Basically, I think what you're trying to point out is these numbers are not necessarily an anomaly. Is that right?
No, not at all. You look at this, though, over the past Super Bowl since 2002, only one team has had a losing record in that stretch, but only six of the 13 have gone 500 or worse in the six game stretch to end the year. How about that for a fact? Momentum does not mean much to winning Super Bowls in recent trends at all. Only one went 6-0. That was the 2003 Patriots. I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I think they were playing a lot conservatively. And I heard from a source who has a source that Tom Brady's ribs are hurt.
Oh, interesting.
Like really badly. So.
Interesting. Okay, now, momentum, then. Boy, that's an interesting concept for a moment, because I'm trying to wrap my brain around that. When you put that in together with that really would be an anomaly, because that's not – I mean, frequently we hear that's the opposite in a game like baseball. Baseball is all about momentum. We've seen that many, many times where a team all of a sudden can get hot in September and carry that right through into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs.
Yeah,
we've heard about that in the NHL as well. Hockey is another one where momentum carries a team. You're saying that, hey, so what if the Patriots are 2-4 in their last six? So what if the Packers are 4-6 in their last 10? It really doesn't matter because the stats are there to prove it.
And the stats really are there to prove it. You can't deny who won the Super Bowl. Yeah, there might have been some fluke catches or whatever, but that's a team that hoists the Lombardi, right?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you look at baseball. How about the 07 Rockies? They won 17 of their last 18 in the regular season, and then they won 8 in a row, including a game 163, swept the NLDS against the Cubs. Excuse me, that was the D-backs, but they swept the NLDS, and then they swept the NLCS. So, you know.
Well, I'm thinking of this season. How about this season?
Yeah.
This season alone, you can look at it. You can look at it from the standpoint of, I'm thinking of the New York Mets. The New York Mets overtaking the Washington Nationals. I mean, that was insane. That was an insane
that's
situation.
Crazy. Yeah.
Interesting that, and maybe that would come as a, maybe that give Brandon a bit of a pause there for a moment, and he might sit there and go, oh, good, glad to hear it.
And I feel that way, too. That's my team, so.
Jess is actually saying, Brandon, that apparently he's got a source that says Tom Brady is hurting.
Yeah, I read that, too. I read he was limping.
This is ribs. This is different. There was no limp today in the press conference.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I had read that he was in a walking boot leaving the game on Sunday with the ankle, and that the MRI checked out to be just a sprain. I didn't hear anything about any ribs.
Yeah, this
he
is
clearly
an
did get
story.
Beat around, though. If you watch that game, that offensive line is flat out terrible right now.
That's why.
But I do think we're getting one back from injury, which may help bolster it a little.
Yeah, that's Sebastian Vollmer, the traditional left tackle, Seabass as they call him. But you move him, and that ultimately impacts the entire line because of what the Patriots do. You figure what they'll do. You're not getting a Wendell back. You're not getting those guys back. But that allows them to reshift. You're not getting a Cannon back. But it allows them to reshift the tackles and so forth. And I figure what they should try is they should try Stork at right guard, and then they should try Andrews at center, because Stork, he's definitely had a good postseason before in 2014. He's had a rough scheme-wise second half of the year, but he's better than most of what they've got, so it's worth a try. And I would consider a lot of jumbo packages with Michael Williams, who, again, he struggled down the stretch, but he was consistent earlier on, and he's who you've got.
You're absolutely right there.
Yeah. I mean, you got Adrian Lovato back soon, too, who was, he was the guy who basically had the face mask thing that led up to the Aaron Rodgers Giants score at the end of that Thursday night game. But he's who you've got.
Now, what was I going to say? I guess in some respects, Brandon, the Patriots have got exactly what Cincinnati would have loved to have had. They got the week off. And that's what Cincinnati would have loved to have had. Given their quarterback that extra time, and now they got to go with and I keep saying it, and I know you keep saying to me, Brandon keeps saying to me, hold the bus there, Mike. It may not be McCarron, but assuming it's McCarron, I mean that's not what Cincinnati probably wanted to go with. But Brandon, you got to be sitting back, I guess, thinking to yourself, wow, a good thing we got the bye, because, what's it going to mean to get back some of the things that you're missing? What is it?
Edelman is going to be huge in the passing game.
Okay.
That I can tell you.
That's definite. You're going to get Edelman back, right?
Yeah.
Well, from what I had read, he could have played this last past Sunday.
Right.
I think they just erred on the side of caution and kept him out.
Yeah.
In other words, he's been back at practice for 4 weeks. So, I think he could have played Sunday had, they chosen to, but I think they just decided to be, all right, I think this week ended up, and they realized that it was not that big a deal. whether you're a one or a two, you know, in these playoffs, you got so many good teams at the lower number seeds. They probably just said, hey, let's try to get as healthy as we can.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of the approach they took, because I know for a fact Edelman was back for I saw, you know, clips. He was back for the last 4 weeks in practice.
Yeah. How about this, though? Pro Football Focus released a stat today on Twitter. They said with Edelman, Brady has the quickest release in the NFL at 2.13 seconds snap to throw. Without him, it's 2.65 or 2.85, which is the fifth slowest in the NFL. So he's going to make a difference on offensive line play as well.
Absolutely.
And you talk about
the ball's out quicker, timing plays, all of it.
You guys were saying how lower seeds were all the favorites by the lines. I was doing some research upon that when you guys were saying that. That happened apparently most recently in 2008. All the lower seeds were favored in the wild card round. In the first round, yes.
In the first round.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you have the list of who the teams were?
I can tell you Indianapolis at San Diego. I can tell you that one. Let me see if I can get the other ones. That's the one I recall offhand, because that was Tony Dungy's last game as a coach.
Right,
so
right.
I have it right somewhere. I got that in a sec. I'm sorry I'm taking so long, but there we go. I got this. Okay, it's on a San Diego Chargers forum, so I'm like, oh, hey, that's neat. There's an AP article about it. Okay, so here we go. Indianapolis at San Diego was a 1.5-point favorite. San Diego won that, if you remember, I believe like an 80-yard return by Darren Sproles. Let's see. I'm checking on the AP. Okay. Apparently the article is not up anymore, but it does show that, let's see, it shows that Arizona was not favored at home, but they wound up going to the Super Bowl that year. So the lines wind up being entirely wrong. So, but it shows that there's certainly precedence for this, but it shows you how much Vegas can be off. I'm looking at ELO, which creates its own lines by Nate Silver of Political Stuff and Jay Boyce, who does stuff with them on 538. They favor three of the four road teams, with only Cincinnati favored. But the deal with ELO is that it takes in consideration all players. It doesn't account for player injuries, because it counts the games as the games, because it was designed for chess players originally. So that system thinks Dalton, some mix of Andy Dalton and A.J. McCarron, is going to be starting. But there's a quote out there today that I read on Bleacher Report, so take it for what it's worth. But they say that it's going to be McCarron starting. That was said at a press conference today. So,
well, it, you know, all indications have been, and mind you, today's only Tuesday, all right? It's only Tuesday.
Exactly.
But the Cincinnati game is on Saturday, all right? So, you know, they're a day short. We're a day short this week for the AFC. That's the other thing that I found interesting about the matchups for this coming weekend, is that you have both the AFC games on Saturday and both the NFC. Don't they usually break them up? I guess they don't, though, do they?
They've every year since 1977, they've done two different conferences on one day. And in 1977, they didn't do it because that Sunday was a Christmas. So they wound up doing Saturday and a Monday, actually, that year in the playoffs. So.
All right. Okay. I guess that wouldn't make any sense to break them up, because then that would give one team an extra day advantage. But, you know, tomorrow's Wednesday. I think by tomorrow now, you're going to have to be hearing from Cincinnati pretty definitively as to who is going to actually be starting. But, you know, right from the end of the game on Sunday forward, you were hearing, well, we're going to be working McCarron to be taken. he'll be doing most of the pregame, you know, getting things.
The Dalton, you risk that he's not fresh and he's not really as familiar with the systems as recently, too. Because McCarron's been on board with what the personnel has been of late, too. There's nobody like the present in that sense.
I kind of feel the same way. I think, you know, the best thing that could have happened for Cincinnati would have been had they gotten one of those. They had gotten the one or two seed. That would have been the best thing in the world.
Oh,
all
absolutely.
Right. All right. Well, I got to be. We're going to be wrapping it up here in a second. Hey, Jess, thanks for jumping in with us tonight. Nate, thanks for those. As always, next level stats there, my friend.
Thanks for having me, Michael. Same to you, and best of luck as always to the Pats. So you know how I feel about that one, Sidekick, and you know the Broncos got a bye too, Michael. So yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Exactly. All right. You got it. Thanks, Jess.
See you around.
Scheduled for this upcoming weekend, as I just pointed out, the AFC games will be on Saturday. Chiefs, who are the number 5 seed, will be going to Houston. Texans are the number 4 seed. That game will come off at 4:20 Eastern time. That'll be on ESPN, and that will be followed at 8:15 Eastern time. You got the number 6 seed Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals, number 3. You're looking at that one, Brandon. You're saying that's probably the best of the two games, right?
Oh, yeah. I think that's going to be a great game to sit and watch. I think that's going to, you're going to see two. I think it's going to be a, you know, it's a, the third matchup for the year for these teams because they're division, you know, division rivals. I think you're going to see, you know, I think you're going to see a tough game. I'm not as convinced as you and Jess are that we're going to see McCarron. I think Dalton's going to find a way to play. I think that's been all along the plan. I think the fact that the cast came off today indicates that there's enough healing that it was doable. I think he's going to find a way to grip that football, and I think you're going to see Andy Dalton. I think that's my guess. And, you know, everything I had read was, you know, practice comes out. We will have injury reports starting tomorrow.
Tomorrow,
so
right?
We'll see if he's limited or if he's a full participant. If you ever see full participant in practice, you're going to see him in the game. That's my guess for sure. Now, whether or not we get to that point, I don't know. I think Dalton's a tough quarterback, and I think he's going to find a way to get in this game only because, you know, it is just that. It's the whole season, you know, and they've had a great season up to this point. It is kind of a shame that you know, they don't have their starting quarterback.
I agree. I think that's a real shame. I really do. Because, you know, like I said, we've talked about the Cincinnati Bengals team, and they've even kind of made somewhat modest a believer out of me. So the NFC games will take place on Sunday now, and it'll start off at 1 o'clock. You've got the number 6 seed Seattle Seahawks going to Minnesota as the number 3 seed. That'll be the 1 o'clock game. That's going to be on NBC. And then that'll be followed at 4:40 on Fox by the number 5 seed Green Bay Packers going to Washington to play the number 4 seed Washington Redskins. Of those two games, Brandon, Seattle and Minnesota, to me, the toughest game to choose on that one. That's my thinking.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that's your best game of those games. I think the other game, well, it's tough to say. I think the Green Bay-Washington game could end up being close only because Green Bay's not been what they had been earlier in the year. But I think that Seattle-Minnesota game is going to be the one to watch.
And Washington, you got to know, has got probably a bit of a chip on their shoulder, as they know absolutely no one is giving them any chance in hell of going anywhere past this week. You know that. So they're going to be playing with a chip on their shoulder.
Here's what I always say when it comes to quarterback, you know, the position. Quarterback position is always key in the playoffs. I don't think Kirk Cousins is all that. I think he's just better for that offense than RG3. So, you know, if you're going to go quarterback to quarterback, I'm taking Rodgers all day over Cousins. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, that's playoffs, you know, that's why I believe somehow, some way, Andy Dalton's going to find a way to play on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. Well,
you know,
we'll be
I don't
getting,
think you can keep Ben Roethlisberger out of that game any which way. How many times has he been hurt this year? And he's managed to find a way to play.
Oh,
so
like, yeah, absolutely.
I think Dalton's going to be in the same mold.
Well,
we'll see.
To get our full picks, I'll tell you what you want to do. You want to make sure that you are here on Thursday night. Yes, we're back to our regular time. Regular time for our Fred House Sports Show, our flagship program. Number 226 coming to you Thursday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time. And you want to be here for that one. You'll get all of our full-blown picks for this week. There's only 4 games, and we will all be making our picks on those come Thursday night. Make sure you're here for the Fred House Sports Show, 7 p.m. Eastern time. In the meantime, I'll tell you what. Well, there's got to be some sports out there someplace. So, well, what the heck? Get out there and find it. College football, college basketball, pro basketball, hockey. Something's on. Go check it out.